So good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to a fine, wonderful Sunday. Hope that the Lord has blessed you this morning and you have enjoyed. Title of the message today is Measure Your Treasure, and it's kind of where I want you to get to at the end of this sort of message is to think about where your treasure is, what your treasure is, and measure it just a little bit. I work at a school. You all know that. I've talked to you long enough that you know that I'm a teacher at a school. And I have fifth period off, which is just after lunch. And just after lunch, you have 2,000 kids who are on campus for lunch. Just after lunch, everybody goes into class, except for those students who don't feel like class is necessary. But the rest of them go to class, okay? And every animal on campus comes out. Okay, so every bird, every squirrel, even muskrats yesterday just kind of showed up on campus, and they're looking for what? They're looking for the leftovers, right? It's amazing what they won't eat, okay? They will not eat Takis. I don't know if you know what Takis are, but Takis are those hot chips. Okay, my kids at my school love them. They eat them all the time, right? They're on the ground, they stay on the ground, okay? Nothing picks them up. Bird comes by, looks at it, goes, nope, they're touching that. Animals have a treasure hunting instinct. They go after what they feel that they need, they want, and they look for things in particular. And as I was doing some reading this week, I was looking at a passage in Job. And in this passage in Job chapter 28, I want to read to you. Because it was interesting to me as I thought about this message and drew this message together, what our treasures are. Where we look for treasure. What is a treasure to us? And this passage in Job, as I read it, just felt a particular way. So in Job chapter 28, it says, "There is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to the darkness. He searches the farthest recesses for ore. In the blackest darkness, far from where people dwell, he cuts a shaft. In places forgotten by the foot of man, far from man, he dangles and sways. The earth from which food comes is transformed below as by fire. Sapphires come from the rocks, and its dust contains nuggets of gold. No bird of prey knows that hidden path. No falcon's eye has seen it. Proud beasts do not set foot on it, and no lion prowls there. Man's hand assaults the flinty rock and lays bare the roots of the mountains, and he tunnels through the rock. His eyes see all its treasures. He searches the sources of the rivers and brings hidden things to light." And then this verse that rings far truer than anything else that's there. "But where can wisdom be found?" Where can wisdom be found? And some like me are in this place of life where you are chasing the dollar. You're trying to get a dollar bill. Some of you are in that place where you're trying to get an education so you can go get a dollar. Some of you are working a part-time job. Some of you are just in school. But all of us are chasing treasures. We're looking for things along the way. We want particular things. Some of us search for love. Some of us search for money. Some of us search for success. I don't even know what the game is called Fortnite. How many of you actually know what Fortnite is? Are you searching for something in there? No, yeah, there's no purpose in Fortnite. There isn't something that you're trying to get. You don't play it, but you know about it. I don't play it because I don't know. I've learned that life is not an app, okay? Life is not an app. And sometimes I used to get myself so wrapped up in particular games that nothing else would happen in my life. Nothing. Okay? When I was in college, before I came to know Christ, I played Dungeons & Dragons for 72 hours at a clip. Okay? We lived on Dr. Pepper. Okay? It was the way we were. We went this route. This was what we wanted to accomplish. We wanted to make sure that our guys were the biggest, toughest, strongest things in an imaginary world. Really? Now, I've not touched Dungeons & Dragons in 30 years. I still know that I went down that path and searched that path and went down that road with a bunch of my friends. And my friends will still share the stories of how we stayed up for 72 hours and did absolutely nothing that meant anything to anybody, but we did it anyway. Never forgotten. The treasure there, though, was never the gain. The treasure was the friendships that I had. And as you travel through life and you begin to measure the treasure of your life, you know, you can go and find gold and rubies and diamonds and all that. And the question is, what does that gain you? In that passage that you read earlier, Matthew chapter 6, it talks about you can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. And the reality is, it's about measuring your treasure. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Yesterday I went to Magic Mountain. I enjoy going to Magic Mountain with my wife. We have bought the food pass. Okay? We no longer go to Magic Mountain to ride the rides. It's true. My wife and I, we go to Magic Mountain to eat ice cream. And there is a barbecue place there, at Aces of Spades, I think it's called. We enjoy the barbecue. And she loves potatoes, okay? So we have to go to the Katie's Kettle and eat the whatever covered potato she wants for the day. Yesterday was a little different. This has happened to me a couple times. We went there and we enjoyed our usual fare and had a good time. But one of my students showed up. One of my students was at Magic Mountain yesterday. And by the way, teachers are supposed to not exist after school, okay? You're not supposed to be anywhere, okay? So you leave campus, you're supposed to be like that squirrel. You know, see you later, I'm not here anymore when they show up, okay? But every once in a while I get to Magic Mountain and my kids show up at Magic Mountain. And this kid showed up. His name is Juan Santiago. He's a kid that I had in seventh grade. I had him in seventh grade when he didn't like math. He didn't know math, didn't want math, forget it. Math is not for me, not going to happen. And there was five of these boys in the same class. One was Mauricio, Jesus Alvarado, Juan Santiago, and there's two other ones. I can't remember their names right now. But they all came to my class at the same place, and they had the same heart. I don't do math. And I said, well, you do in my class. And I pushed them, and I pushed them, and I pushed them, and I pushed them from day one, okay? So when they came into my class, their normal routine was they wouldn't get their journal books to get to the desk. So I'd say, please get your journal books. They'd get their journal books. Then I'd have to say, please write the problem from the board. And I did this daily, okay? And then I'd say, please answer the problem, because they weren't answering the problem. And by the end of the year, I didn't have to say this every day. What are you waiting for? They waited and waited and waited. Well, they're now juniors in high school. And I'm at a SPAN school, so I get to see them on a regular basis. And for the first time, four of them finally had grades to play sports. That means that they had to have a 2.0. Finally, after 4 years, they finally got to the place where they got enough in. They have passed Algebra 1. They have passed Geometry. I'm not saying they got A's. That didn't happen, okay? But they went from failing my class to getting to a place where they have made some success enough that they are actually thinking about heading off and maybe possibly doing college. You talk about a long road. My treasure's there. This is where I try to dig. When I'm on a regular basis on my campus, I am trying to find these nuggets of gold within the context of my students that I look at them and I go, hey, you can be different than you are. And Juan was so excited to see me yesterday. His mother was there. His sister was there. His little brother. They were all there. He goes, I got out of the picture. I'm like, okay. So we took it. And it's an exciting place. But I ask you, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure currently? What is the most important thing to you? What do you measure as having the most value to you? Where are you in this current life? Because we all have different places where we're at. We all are in different locations within the context of our lives. I'm 53 years old. My youngest child is 20 years old. I don't have to worry about going to martial arts anymore. Okay? I don't have to worry about taking my child to my children to cheerleading or to lacrosse or to get to school on time. I don't have to worry about all that stuff anymore. I just have to make sure I pay the bill for college. That's what I have to do. But a few years ago, I did have all those tasks. Before that, I had even more tasks. Interestingly enough, how many of you went on vacation last weekend? Memorial weekend? Okay, so my vacation? Putting a roof on my daughter's house. That's what my vacation was. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But why did I put a roof on her house? Because I want them to do well. I want them to succeed. They couldn't afford to put a roof on their house, so they needed somebody to put the roof on their house. Where are your treasures? What are the things that you are doing to put those treasures in action? I want you to take a look at Acts chapter 1. Correction. Acts chapter 3. Slide over just a little bit. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of the prayer at 3 in the afternoon. They're heading where? They're heading to church. What are they going to do at church? Pray. They're going to go do a spiritual thing. Okay? Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. What's going on in his life? Was his life grand? He's crippled. He's a crippled man. He wasn't able to walk to where he was going. He was going to sit by the temple gate and he was going to ask for people to give him money so that he could survive and live. Now, did he cause this thing to himself? I don't think so. Did he choose to be crippled? I don't think so. But he was. And as you walk by, you have a choice. You have an option here. What is your option? You have this option every day. Every day in this city, you have this option. You can walk by those who have nothing, are crippled, or you can do something. You have a choice. Now, Peter and John are walking by. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, what did Peter say? Look at us. Peter said, look at us. He wanted his attention. He wanted to talk with him, but he wanted his attention. See, when you beg, where do your eyes go? If you're begging for money, typically where do your eyes go? I'm looking down. I'm asking, but I'm looking down. Why? Because I'm sad. I don't want to do this. This is not a glorious position. I have not become CEO of begging. I've become discouraged. So Peter and John want his attention. They want his attention because they want to share something with him. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. Peter got any money? Not got any money. Doesn't have any. There's nothing there in his pockets. But he does recognize this man needs something, doesn't he? Now, most of us, when we see somebody who's begging on the street and they're disabled, we recognize that their greatest need is that they sure could use some healing here. I mean, that's it. Most of us go, well, I'll give you a couple dollars because a couple dollars will get you a sandwich somewhere and you can eat and at least have some enjoyment in food. But Peter and John recognized the real need there, and that was that he couldn't walk. Now, if he could walk, things would change. Silver and gold I do not have, but this I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What did he say? Walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Peter and John didn't have treasure as we know it. As we as Americans or people know. They didn't have gold and silver in their pockets. They hadn't dug in the mine. They hadn't been spending their time dangling down from a rope to see what they could find and beat up the rocks and get some stuff out of the ground. They hadn't been doing that. They've been sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with as many people as they possibly could. And they've been sharing it, and they hadn't been getting a whole lot of funding. When they saw this guy, they recognized his need and said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Now, wouldn't you like to have that power? Wouldn't you like to have that power? You do. Some of you are not believing me right now. You have that power. If that's what Jesus chooses to do through you, you have that power. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have the power to impact somebody's life in such an amazing way that they could get up and walk? Do you believe? I know it's hard to believe because I have trouble with it myself. But I know this. You have the power to change people's lives on a regular, everyday basis if you honestly care. If you stop long enough to care. If you stop long enough to look at what's going on in their life and say, hey, what can I do to help them in their life? They didn't have silver and gold. You might have a little silver and gold. You might have an opportunity to give somebody a dollar bill that might actually make their life a little better. You might be able to go to their house and mow their lawn. You might be able to do something in their world that makes a difference. You might be able to share Jesus with them. Because let's face it. I'm 53 years old, and I walked at Magic Mountain for 4 miles yesterday. My hip is screaming at me today. Okay? Now, 20 years ago, my hips didn't talk to me. This hip right here, it hurts. Just say it, it hurts, okay? But 20 years ago, not an issue. 50 years from now, it won't be an issue either. I'm just saying. 103? I'm probably gone, but maybe not. Okay, maybe it's 70. I don't know. I'm going someday, and someday it's not going to matter. The pain in my hip will not matter. It will not be a problem. It will not be an issue for me. But the issue will be, am I in heaven or am I in hell? And can you share in the name of Jesus with someone that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Can you share that wisdom to them? Can you get to the place where you see someone have a need and begin to fill that need? And I'm going to tell you this. You see somebody begging on the street and you say, hey, do you know Jesus? That's not what they need at the moment. But maybe taking care of a little lunch, taking care of a little of their personal need, taking a little care of their physical need may give you an opportunity to share a spiritual need. Because typically we don't look at spiritual needs until after we take care of our physical needs. Peter and John took care of the physical need. And that physical need was walking. And after they did that, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them in the temple courts, walking and jumping. And what was he doing? Was he praising God before that moment? Was he praising God before that moment? He was asking for what? He's asking for money. Funny thing, he wasn't even asking for a healing that day, okay? He didn't come to the temple saying, hey, somebody heal my legs, please. He didn't do that. He was asking for money. He was trying to take care of a physical need. He got a physical need taken care of that he didn't plan on by two guys that he didn't expect anything from. And now he's in the temple praising God. That's pretty amazing. I think Peter and John would measure their treasure that day pretty good. They'd be pretty excited about their treasure that day. Their treasure that day would have been that man. As he was praising God in the temple, they would have been praising God in their hearts for what had happened in their lives that day. Can you measure your treasure? Can you find those places in your life where that treasure is very precious? When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Not only was he having a great day, everybody else is going, how did that happen? And he's saying, these two guys shared Jesus with me. These two guys shared that Jesus could heal me. These two guys walked up to me, said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, walk. Do you think there was some power in that day? The temple was abuzz. Measure your treasure. Measure your treasure. You can measure a person's need in their life. You can fill most needs in people's lives. You could pray for the others that you can't meet. You could pray for God to do miracles in people's lives. You can stop and ask. You can share Jesus. Forgiveness is a powerful, life-changing event. I want you to look at another passage in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Can't serve both God and money. You can't serve both yourself and God. You can't serve two masters. And this morning I ask you, who are you serving? Measure the treasure of your heart, because where your treasure is, there your heart is. And the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us up and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on an entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn to bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you, and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey Him. As you travel through life, you're going to come to places along the way. You're going to come to places along the way where you're going to have to reset this in your heart. You're going to have to say, am I going to serve the Lord with all of my heart again? You're going to come to a place, and I've come to a place recently. I'm in an interesting place. For the first time in my life, I'm making more money than I'm actually spending. It's a scary thought. I actually can save some money. It's scary. I've never been there in my life. The question that I have for myself, and I have this on a daily basis, is, am I doing what the Lord would have me do? Am I where the Lord wants me to be? And I'm struggling with it. I'd love to be back in full-time ministry and do just exactly that. I'd like to be poor again, serving God, doing that. And I chose and I got this peace and I'm serving God in a way that I can. But as you travel through life, you're going to have these places. In high school, you're going to choose whether you do this or you do that. In college, you're going to choose whether you do this or you do this. You're going to choose a spouse, a mate, a person to be with. You're going to choose how you raise your children. You're going to choose what you do differently. The question I have for you along the way here, the bottom line is, do you serve the Lord every moment of every day in this traveling? Do you reset your heart? Is your current treasure where the Lord wants it to be? Only you can measure that. Only you. Choose for you this day whom you will serve. Are you serving the Lord? Or are you serving that dream that you have? Are you serving God's purpose? Or are you serving your own? One last passage to share with you this morning. It's out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. We started this message this morning. I took you to Job chapter 28 and shared that little dark tunnel of what we do sometimes. We go digging for gold or digging for silver. We want to find rubies and emeralds, and we go digging in the mountain, and we get to the base of the mountain, we get into the darks of the mountain, we get into the depths of the mountain, we get to that place where it's dark, and we go, this is my treasure. That's not the treasure God wants you to have. The treasure God wants you to have really is measured in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings of riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. If you want to go dig for some treasure, dig for some wisdom. If you really want to put things into your life that work for the rest of your life every single day, put in wisdom. Put in pieces that will change your life. They're not going to add to your textbook, your checkbook. They're not going to add to your savings account. They're not going to add to those places. But they will help you in life deal with things that are really difficult to do. So this morning, as you measure your treasure, measure it before God. Where are you at before God with your current treasure? Is your heart, and I know your heart's where your treasure is, is your heart solely with the Lord today? Where the Lord is, are you there? And as you grapple with that, understand that we all do. As you walk through that, understand that we all do. Set your commitment solely upon the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day what you will dig for. Choose this day what will matter around you. Enough said. Father God, I just ask that you work in the hearts of each and every one of the folks that are here. Father, they will measure their own treasure and draw their hearts close to you. Lord, that they would choose to serve in whatever way you ask. Give them the power that Peter and John had. Father, that if they don't have money, that they could change lives and see those lives changed. Lord, if they do have money, that they can use it to change people's lives. Lord, I thank you for your wisdom. Lord, help me to dig some more up that I may be faithful to you in all I do. I love you, Lord. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the Lord's Supper this morning as we partake in the Lord's